to be able to understand what that meant.
Okay, Rabosai. So here's what I want you to have in front of you. We'll start on page Samach. Again, we're going to highlight certain parts of the written words over here. And we're going to look first on the right column. Ma bo rabba bar barchon l'chadesh. And if you see number Aleph, that's the Ra'ah and the Ran. According to their opinion, there is a machlokes between Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Rav regarding the principle of Chaticha Nases Nevela, which means that according to Rabba Bar Bar Chana, we don't accept that principle of Chaticha Nases Nevela, whereas according to Rav, we do accept the principle of Chaticha Nases Nevela. What we don't know at this point is what's the relevance of Chaticha Nases Nevela? Why does that play a role in this sugya? So that's a question we're going to get to in Mirtz Hashem a little later on. And if you look in Abba Beis, the Ra'ah continues and he says there's a second machlokes between Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Rav, and that is with regard to the issue of Min Bimino. Whereas Rabba Bar Bar Chana accepts the sheet of the Chachamim, Min Bimino is Batel. Rav rejects that sheet and accepts the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that Min Bimino lo Batel. And if you remember, we discussed last time that there's a concept called Mashahu, and that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regard to Min Bimino, that Min Bimino is Aser B'Mashu. That's what you have over there. However, with regard to the Ra'ah, in the first paragraph, namely that there's a machlokas here regarding Chaticha Nas Nevela, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, which is on the bottom column, or right column, cannot accept that approach, because according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, no one could say Chaticha Nas Nevela. Why? Because we're outside of the realm of what? Of Basu B'Cholmav. Once we leave Basu B'Cholmav, so Rabbeinu Ephraim, even Rav would have to agree that there's no din of Chaticha Nases Nevela, and therefore, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, we have to reduce the scope of the machlokas between Rav Bar Bar Chana and Rav by crossing out Chaticha Nases Nevela, and we're left with one and only one machlokas, namely Min Bimino, whether we pass it like the Chacham and that's Batel, or we pass it like Rav Yehuda that it's not Batel. However, of course, we have to face the question, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, why does Rav employ this phrase of Chaticha Atzma Nases Nevela if he doesn't mean it? And that you'll see on the top left column, namely that according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, Chaticha Nases Nevela merely means that without Chaticha Nases Nevela, the Chaticha that received the Tam of the Nevela could not impart that Tam on the balance of the Keder. We need to say Chaticha Nases Nevela in order for that Chaticha to engender an Isur in the balance of the Kedera. Now what that means can be understood in two different ways. It could be understood literally as Chaticha Nas Nevela, but that's not the way Rabbeinu Ephraim could tolerate it. And therefore we have to say that Chaticha Nas Nevela is just a way of saying that through this blia, through this absorption of Tam on the part of this Chaticha from the Nevela, it now has the ability to generate an Isur to others. Okay, what is the status of this piece of meat that received the Tam of Nevela vis-a-vis the rest of the Kedera, if he stirs it together? That's where, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rav introduced the words Chaticha Nas Nevela, but they should not be understood literally, kipshutam, as we saw in Basa Macholov on Daf Kufches, as Chaticha Nas Nevela, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. That's not what he means. He means that we can only engender an Isur, let's say the Chaticha that received the Tam Nevela can only impart that Isur on the rest of the Kedera if if it is a chaticha nasis nevela, meaning it's the word nevela here is to be understood as a catchphrase, as a code word for the ability to transfer the tam that it received from the original nevela to the balance of the kedera. Because if you recall, again, we've discussed this on many occasions, there's a two-stage process going on here. In the first stage, there is a direct relationship between the nevela and this piece of meat. And in the second stage, this piece of meat that received the tam of the nevela now gets mixed up with the rest of the kedera.
Doesn't this make a difference to whether we're worried about the, in the second slice, the volume of the whole slice, or simply the volume of the mashe balua?
Okay, so that...
And therefore it's confusing to...
Right, no, that becomes a major issue which we want to address today, and that is, what is the ratio between the nevela and that first piece of meat? Was it a ratio of 1 to 59, namely Nesinas Tam, or was it a relationship of 1 to 60 or 1 to 1,000, which is called a Mashahu? And the reason I would have the chutzpah to say that it should be 1 to 50,000, whatever the number is because we're talking in the framework of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, min bimino, afilu bielef lo bata. So it would make logical sense, therefore, to assume that we don't care one way or the other what the relationship, the ratio is between the chatichas nevela and the top piece of meat. In any event, the piece of nevela will engender iser into that top piece of meat. Even if that piece of meat would be gigantic and the piece of nevela would be minuscule, it wouldn't make any difference because min bimino lo bata. The problem with that approach is that Rabbi Yehuda in his language says, kevon shenasan tam biyosa chaticha, which implies that the relationship between the nevela and that piece of meat is 1 to 59. There was an Asinus Tam. Why does he need that? He should drop the ball on that because we're holding now, like Rabbi Yehuda min bimino, is even a mashu is enough, so you don't need an Asinus Tam. And that's where we have Rabbeinu Ephraim, who's going to say that we need the Nesinas Tam in order for that top piece of meat to impart its Iser into the balance of the Kedera in the second stage after we do a Nir, after we do a story. Again, we don't understand within Rabbeinu Ephraim's frame of reference why we need that Nesinas Tam. I'm not claiming that we know that, but that seems to be what's going on. Now, there's a totally different way of understanding this. And that is the Ramban in the second paragraph on the left column here. And the Ramban says that we really don't care about Nesinas Tam. We should not take the words of Rav literally, straightforward, but rather we should reinterpret those words. And therefore, the Ramban says, which you'll see on the paragraph that starts Ulam on the second line, he says, Kol shen isbashu achatichos yachad, af she'ein banevelo kishir nesinas tam v'shchuta nemar dino shel Rav. The Ramban is of the opinion that either way, whether or not the nevela was large enough to give tam into the shchuta, or it was not large enough to give tam into the shchuta, Rav's din always applies, which means that the top piece of meat becomes osur, and then when I mix it with the rest of the kedera, everything else becomes osur. So we have here, therefore, two approaches to this entire sugi of Rav. Forget about Chatichnas Nevela for a moment. That's almost a side point. That's a wing of this sugya that's not really, center stage. What's most important for us here is how to understand Rav in terms of the relationship between that Chatich that received that was cooked with the Nevela and in the second stage, the stirring of the pot in which that piece of meat became usur, now will or will not impart its Iser to the rest of the Kedera? Do we go with most Rishonim or do we go with the Ramban? If we go with most Rishonim, then Rav made the following condition. That piece of meat that received Tam from the Nevela could impart its Issa to the rest of the Kedera if and only if it received Tam from the Nevela, which means the ratio was 1 to 59. Whereas the Ramban goes on his merry way and he assumes, against all the other Rishonim, that Rav should not be taken literally, and therefore, even if the ratio between the Nevela and the top piece of meat was 1 to 60, etc., etc., nevertheless, once that Chaticha became Asura, it now, once mixed with the rest of the Kedera, will impart its Iser to the rest of the Kedera through the principle of Min Bemina Lo Batel, despite the fact that if you ask me how much Tam of Nevel does it have within its walls, within its Basar, the answer is a Mashahu. But it doesn't matter, because that Mashahu of Iser is enough to A, engender an Iser in that Tap Chaticha, says Rabban, and B, to now impart that Iser into the rest of the Kedera, because Min Bemino Afilu Biela Flobot. The Rashba, at the end of that same paragraph, tries to justify...
The Rabban is very difficult. I mean, he's got to... He's taking the words of Rav.
Right, and reinterpreting them.
Reinterpreting them, so you have to get out the idea of Tom.
Correct.
And
the Rashba, at the end of this paragraph, Ulam, that we started, tries to manipulate the words a little bit. And he says the following. Shemeachar ubederech klal b'shtei chatichos yesh ba'achas kedei liten tam b'shnia l'kach omar rav loshon zu shenosna tam. Meaning, in 9 out of 10 cases, when you have a cooking of two pieces of meat, then piece of meat A will give off tam into piece of meat B, and therefore Rav used the language nosna tam to describe what's going on over here, meaning bashetach, as we say, you know, on the ground, it really is an asinus tam, but it didn't have to be so. It's just that Rav wants to describe the general usual situation or scenario. But no, you're right, John. I mean, from a textual point of view, the Ramban is a bit of a chidush. It's a bit of a stretch. But I just want to give the Ramban a lot of credit here, because although textually it's a stretch, conceptually, you know, the ball is in his court. He's absolutely correct. What difference it make whether was the Sinas Tam in the first piece or there wasn't? That first piece of meat became Asur, and once it became Asur, let it engender an Isur in the rest of the Kedera because of the principle of Min Bemina Lo Batel. In a sense, the burden of proof is on the other Rishonim against the Ramban, who take this Gemara literally and assume that Rav stipulated this condition that there's got to be a Nesinas Tam in order for that Chaticha to impart its Issur to the rest of the Kedera. Why is that so? We're holding now, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Min Bemino is also Vimashu. I don't need Nesinas Tam. And that's going to be one of the major issues that we have to face. And I think, in Mirz Hashem, I think we have some progress. I mean, after putting in many hours of work into this. Now, in the next paragraph that starts Chaticha Nasis Nevela, we have a little bit of a chazara, of a repeat, but there are a few points here that are added. First of all, according to Rabbi Natam, according to the Ri, those are two of the Bali Tosis that are on one side of the fence against Rabbi Ephraim, and they will apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela to all Isurim, to Nevela, not just to Basa B'Cholov, then they have the upper hand here, at least textually, because those are the words of Rav. Rav says, Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela. Again, I re-emphasize, as I did before, we still don't have an answer to a clue of an answer to the question why I need Chaticha Nas Nevela. How does that Chaticha Nas Nevela play a role here in this sugya? That we don't know yet. In fact, I wrote myself a note on the side. I don't know if you, I don't think you have it, but I wrote Kasha Lama Li Chaticha Nas Nevela. We still don't know why I need Chaticha Nas Nevela. Who needs the veil over here? As long as this piece of meat is asur, it should impart that isa to the rest of Min Bemino, with or without the principle of Chaticha Nasim Tevela. Now, according to Rabbi Ephraim, once again, we have to understand the language of Rav, Chaticha Nasis Nevela, if at the end of the day, according to Rabbi Ephraim, Rav agrees that there is no Chaticha Nasis Nevela in Shari Surim, in Nevela. And therefore, he quotes the Mishmeres Habayis, and this is what we implied before, that what does Rav mean when he says Kevishas Tamachri Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela? It means that if there's no Nesinas Tam into that first Chaticha, if it was 60 and not 59, then it would not impart its Issa to the balance of the Kedera. That would be a Mashu. If the Tap Chaticha that received the brunt of the Nevela itself in the first cooking received nothing more than a mashu, that mashu, insofar as its ability to engender an Isur in the rest of the Kedera, is keman de lesser dom. It's nothing. He writes, oso mashu romo so kilu eno. It's like it doesn't exist anymore. Le'inyon shete oser achirim. This is the Mishmeres Habayis in his interpretation of Ben Ephraim. What I'd like to ask of you is to write a note here, which we'll come back to. If you could add a note, I don't know where you want to write it, but if you don't have a pen, I have a pen. Okay? And I would like you to add the following note, if you can. It sounds like the language of the Mishmeres Habayis indicates that if this first Chaticha only received a Mashu, then when that Chaticha gets mixed up with the rest of the Kedera, everything is mutter, even without Shishim. Now watch this. The original piece of meat called Nevela, let's say it was a Kezaitz. Now, the piece of meat in the first cooking that received, that was cooked together with this Nevela, received a Mashu. Let's say it was 60 Kezaitzim in volume. So there's only a mashu. Now, what's the deal in this case when that piece of meat, that 60 kezesim large, gets mixed up with the rest, gets cooked with the rest of the kedera? And I offer you three possible answers, two of which are absolutely incorrect, one of which is a little attractive. The first possibility is to say that we're going to need in the balance of the Kedera 60, let's talk about the Rotev for a minute, because that's already Min B'Sheino Mino, so we can sideswipe from Yehuda. I would need in the Rotev 60 times 60, if you follow what I mean. Right? I need 60 times that piece of meat which received a Mashahu of Isur from the Nevela, correct? And I would apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Again, according to those Rishonim, against Rabbeinu Ephraim, that would apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Now I need 60 times the 60, if you follow me. The second possibility would be that I need 60 times 1, meaning the 1 Kezais of Nevela. And I'm not going to apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. But there's a third possibility here, that I don't even need 60 times the original Kezaitis. Because if you look at the language of the Mishmeres Habayis, he says, quote, Ad shetekabel tam in anevela, ein onu romes achaticha ki'ilu kimi sheyesh nevela bakla. He says, it says, a mashu is not being recognized as nevela. And oso mashu romo so ki'ilu eino. Underline those two words, kilu eno, it sounds like the halacha doesn't even recognize that mashahu as something which could engender an iser le'inyon shetei oser acherim. I don't even need shishim in the balance of the kedera against anything. Why? Because that piece of meat only has a mashu, and the mashu is kamisha eno. Again, let's not confuse ourselves. It doesn't mean kamisha eno that it's not anything. It is something, because that piece of meat itself is awesome. For example, if I can identify that piece of meat, I got to take it out and throw it in the rubbish because it's definitely also. But if you ask me whether or not that piece of meat is also vis-a-vis the rest of the kedera, you know, we have like an Einsteinian kind of theory of relativity here. No, it's relative to itself. The mashu engenders an iser, and we got to get rid of that chatich if we can only do so by identifying it. But if you ask me whether it's usur relative to the rest of the kedera, he says kibishaino. The mashu is nothing; it doesn't even register on the Richter scale. It sounds like that according to the Mishmeres Abayis, I don't even need shishim at all. Everything is mutter. That mashu is completely insignificant, and it's not worth anything. It's not worth a penny, I would say. They still have pennies? Well, they did away with
new pennies.
What are they called?
The new
pennies.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's worth a lot more than the old penny.
Quite old now. No. About 2.5 times.
2.5. But yeah. Did anybody collect the old pennies or they're not my father-in-law collects pennies, you know, that America, the Americans used to make pennies out of copper. I don't know if they still do, and copper has become a little bit more valuable. So he believes that that if you save your copper long enough, you'll be able to make a profit on it. I don't know. And, you know, they used to, the coins in America, with the exception of the penny, used to be made out of real silver. But then that's no more because the silver is worth more than the coin itself. So you'd have a quarter, which is 1/4 of a dollar, and it's worth more in its silver content than a quarter of a dollar. So now they I don't know what they do. They put some silver plating on it or something like that. All right. So now I want to go on to the next paragraph, Rabbeinu Ephraim. And here we'll see that Rabbeinu Ephraim in a tshuva, which is not the same as Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Tosfos, he holds that according to Abaye, which we didn't get to yet, but Abaye says that they took away the nevela, they threw it out of this whole mixture. Then Rav teaches us that the chaticha of heter becomes nevela in terms of what? In terms of its ability to be polate its blia. Why? Because it received tam from the nevela. Now, is he saying that it received tam from the nevela? If you take a look at the language of Rabbeinu Ephraim in the tshuva, he says, Rav bol lamdenu sha'af shesilek es nevela atzma hachaticha shel heter Naseis nevela va'oseres es hashar al yidei shepoletes es ablia shekibla min nevela. Notice he doesn't add that condition that the chaticha of heter was bolea a tam of iser. He says whatever it was bolea, which might even be mean a mashahu, it imparts to the rest of the kedera. That's what Rav wants to teach us. And that's what Rav meant when he said chaticha atzma nasis nevela. So I'm not sure, but it could be possible that according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, as quoted by Tosfos, it could be that the only way the original chaticha could engender an iser into the rest of the kedera is if it absorbed a full tam. And a mashu, on the other hand, is kibisha eno, if you remember the Mishmeres Abayis. That's Rabbeinu Ephraim, as quoted by the Rishonim. But Rabbeinu Tam in a tshuva, which again, I'm not Rabbeinu Ephraim, excuse me, in a tshuva might be a different Rabbeinu Ephraim, but in any event, it's a different opinion in any event, that even a mashu would be enough to engender an iser in the rest of the kedera. And then we go back to the Ramban that we started with. If you remember the Ramban in the previous paragraph, he had said that the words Nesinas Tam from Rav's mouth are not to be taken literally. Nesinas Tam just means they were cooked together. That's all it means. And therefore, even if it was only a mashu, that would be enough to engender an isa to the rest of the kedera. And that's what I think he's referring to here when he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim b'tshuva, Because if you take a look at the paragraph Ulam Rabbeinu Ephraim, you see in small print in parentheses it says Betshuva, and I think that's the same Rabbeinu Ephraim. So what I would do is I would make an arrow here between Ulam and this paragraph that we're doing now that starts with the words of Rabbeinu Ephraim, kind of an arrow, if you know what I mean, because I think those two are identical. In the middle, sandwiched in the middle, you have a different Rabbeinu Ephraim, and that Rabbeinu Ephraim assumes that Kevon Shenosna Tam B'Chaticha should be taken literally, and you need a Nesinas Tam, you need a Kabbalah's Tam on behalf of that first Chaticha in order to engender an Iser into the rest of the Kedera. And as I said to you before, conceptually, that's a very difficult shita, because since we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda, min lobato, meaning even a mashu is enough to asa, why do you insist on the sinas tam? And that leads us to the next page, which is page Samach Beis.
Samach Beis.
I think. Wait a minute, maybe I got that wrong. Just 1 second. Sorry, I skipped a page. Sorry, Samach Aleph, I meant to say, my mistake. I didn't have it in order here. So I was looking at the next page assuming that it was in order, but it wasn't in order. Okay. Now, in the paragraph on your left column, a section that starts Kushas HaGemara, you will see on the third line in that paragraph that starts Shom B'Gemara, he quotes the Ramban. And we're very familiar with this Ramban, and I feel very comfortable. The Ramban holds that Nevela Atzma Te'esar Es Kol Chatichos B'Mashehu, that this piece of Nevela should have the power, the ability to engender an Issa for all the Chatichos with a mashu. And for that matter, not only the Nevela could aser all the Chatichos b'mashu, but that piece of meat that received a mashu from the Nevela could also engender an Issa for the balance of the Kedera b'mashu. And that's the Ramban sheet. Now, in the next section called Kushas HaRishonim, there we have the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies in Shari Surin, just as it applies in Basu B'Cholav against Rabbeinu Ephraim. Therefore, the question is, why did Rav stipulate this condition that if and only if the Chatichas Nevela gave Tam into the top piece of meat, does that top piece of meat become Nevela? Now, if you remember back on Samach, there was one school of thought that said we shouldn't take the Gemara literally. And there is no condition of Nesinas Tam. And that was the opinion of the Ramban that was amplified by the Rashba. But on the other hand, we have the opinion of all the other Rishonim, and they require a full Nesinas Tam in order to engender the principle of Chaticha Asma Nasis Nevela. And again, we're going according to those Rishonim who reject Rabbeinu Ephraim and maintain that there is Chaticha Nas Nevela in Shari Surim. And therefore, he says that Tosvis, Dibra Maska B'Shekadam Hikshu, Madua, on the third line, Madua Tzarksha Nevela Titein Tam B'Shchuta. And that question has, you know, very familiar associations with the Ramban Shita, the Rashba who embellishes the Ramban, that we don't really need Nesinas Tam. Don't take Rav literally. But as we said before, the other Rishonim take Rav just at straightforward, you know, face value, and therefore he requires Nesinas Tam. Why does he require Nesinas Tam? If you're holding like Rabbi Yehuda, the Min B'Mino is also a Mashu, then this piece of meat that received the Mashu of Nevela becomes Nevela. And Rabbeinu Tam tirates, Shemashu Eino Ose Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Again, we still don't know why Chaticha Nasis Nevela plays a role in this sugya. But on the side, you know, just for, you know, just that we should know, chaticha nas nevela, says Rav Eitan Tam, only applies to a chaticha that received tam of nevela, but not to a chaticha that received only a mashu of nevela. Again, according to Rav Eitan Ephraim, there is no chaticha nas nevela here, because chaticha nas nevela only applies to Moshe B'chol. But according to Rav Eitan Tam, who belongs to that school of thought that there's chaticha nas nevela in Shari Surim, now Rav Eitan Tam adds a condition: we will only apply the principle of chaticha nas nevela if received tam. And the question is why? And that, I think, is the subject of page Samach Bet. And you'll see in the second paragraph, tam hasovrim she'ein mashu ose chaticha nasis nevela, meaning according to Rav Eitan Tam, that we have chaticha nas nevela b'shari surim, what's the reason that a mashu itself could not create chaticha nasis nevela? After all, it's asur, why not say it's nevela? And I want to study with you four approaches. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Zayin. Those are the four that I think are most important for us. The first approach is that of the Yad Yehuda, who lived about 75 years ago, I would say. And he based himself on an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah was 1,000 years ago. And the Yad Yehuda says, which you'll see on the fourth line of this paragraph, Shelo yitochen shechaticha kula tigarer achar mashu shel iser habalua ba v'teichashiv kula kinevela. What he's saying is that unless you have a profound impact on this chatichas heter, you cannot convert it into nevela, into iser. The principle, the power of chaticha nas nevela, is to take something that was heter, right? It was meat that was shechted properly, and make it into a nevela. How can you do that? Says the Yad Yehuda, according to the Or Zeruah, you need a powerful impact on this chatichas heter, this chatichas shchuta, something profound that can effectuate this absolute identity transformation. It's like Clark Kent becomes Superman, right? So in order for that to happen, you need some sort of profound impact. And the profound impact is when this tam that is now, you know, absorbed into this chaticha. If you gave this chaticha to an expert chef and tasted it, he would be able to tell you that there's tam there. So that tam has a powerful impact, insofar as it's a tam iser, on the basa shkuta, and it enables us to apply the principle of Hanan and transform the chaticha from heter into iser. But if all you have is a mashahu, okay, it's asur, but it's not asur b'toras nevela, and Hanan cannot apply. And I enjoy that very much. Then we get to the approach of the placey. The placey and the prima godda. These were the Gedolei Achronim. The Placey's name was Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz, if you ever heard of him. Yeah, the historians have a lot written about him, because he got into a controversy at the time of Shabtai Tzvi. You know, it was after Shabtai Tzvi, but there were still residues of Shiraim and followers of Shabtai Tzvi, and they accused Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz of belonging to that group, because he wore what's called a kamiya. Kamiya had, you know, it was a charm that had a cloth in it with maybe the shaman, so I don't know what it had inside of it. So they thought that was a terrible thing between him and Rav Yaakov Emden, if you heard of it. Emden was the opponent of Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz. But be that as it may, Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz in the channels, the annals of Jewish history and Talmudic halachic history is considered one of the greats. And he wrote a sefer called the Kresi Uplesi. He also wrote a major work on Choshen Mishpat. It was so great that when the Ketos HaChoshen, a half a century later, tried to publish his book on Choshen Mishpat, they said, "What chutzpah do you have? I mean, Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz already conquered the area. You know, he's." But today, of course, the anyone who studies Choshen Mishpat is much more interested in the Ketzos than he is in Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz. But at that time in history, so what does the Placey say?
We're going to Gimel now.
We're up to Beis. Bez is the achronim, is the crazy place. So what is he saying? And the Prima Gadim also agrees with him that, again, in the second line, Mashu shall iser hanivla v'chaticha eino yotze mimenu. This is very interesting. You know, when you cook something, the tam goes out. That's called hispashtus or pleitas hatam. And therefore, something else in this mixture, in this kedera, is going to accept and receive that tam. But if something only has a mashu in it, that mashu remains stagnant, remains stationary in its place. It cannot move out. So, as opposed to the Yad Yehuda that we saw in number Aleph, who says that the mashu doesn't have that profound impact to change and transform the whole identity of the object and make it into not just bolua, but gufo shalisa, the veil itself, what we're talking about now, in the context of the placey, is the inability of a mashu to leave its place. You know, it always remains where it is. Even though you cook it in a kedera, which normally means that something goes out, mashu doesn't go out. Wherever it is, it's because you need something more significant, more profound, in order for it to be pulled out of its four walls.
So the first one is looking more at what's coming in.
Correct. In the first cooking, the piece of meat of shchuta was able to absorb a mashu, and therefore become awesome. But it cannot impart that mashu because that mashu is trapped, so to speak, in the walls of this chatich in such a way that it never goes out. That's what I think he means when he says, "Eino yotze mimenu." You see that? Eino yotze mimenu. And I think, Rambosai, that even though the placey lived just two centuries ago, we're going to find a source, I hope, as we go along, for the crazy in the Rishonim. Because, again, I don't want to take this out of context, but if you take a look on your left column, you see number Bays on your left column, he quotes a Rajba. Do you find that? So the Rajba is quoted as saying, "Ein sham kidei nesinas tam," meaning if all you have is a mashu, "Ein bo koach lotzeis me'achaticha ulehispashit." I would underline those words. Do you have that? And that, I think, is identical with this placey that we're seeing here on the right side. Now, again, this is the next paragraph called Ulam. Do you see that? Is a very, very complicated and advanced paragraph. I'll just give you the nutshell, but, you know, put it in brackets because I don't want to confuse you. This is really advanced. The next paragraph objects to the placey under the grounds that you can have a mixture of liquid into liquid. Like, for example, this wine is Yayin Nesach and this wine is Yayin Shalheter, and they got mixed together. That's called Lach Belach. And the halach of chaticha nasis nevela applies in lach balach. That means, let's say, I have one revius of yayin nesach that gets mixed up with nine revios of yayin heter, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino afil beleflo batel, everything is aser. Now, if that combination of 1 plus 9 gets mixed up in other wine, I'm going to need shishim against the entire 10 revios of yayin, which is called chaticha nasis nevela. Now, in truth, here, you could not... So let me just rewrite the numbers for a second. I said 1 and 9. Let's say it was 1 and 60. Okay, so it's one revius of Yayin Nesek that fell into a pot that had, not a pot, I mean a casket, what do they call it, a barrel, I don't know what you want to call it, of 60 revios of Yayin Shel Heter. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, since Tzvin Bimino is a few bell flow bottle, there's only a mashu here. But here, we're going to apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela, which means that if this entire mixture now has 61 revios, gets mixed up in other wine, you're going to need 60 times 61. That's called chaticha nasis nevela. Even though... Just one second. Did I mess up? Just 1 second.
Okay, bye.
Ah, I messed up a little. Tosis says that in the case of Yayin B'Yayin that I gave you, we do not apply the principle of Chatich Anas if it's a mash. And that would seem to undermine what we said over here, that a mashu doesn't have the power to go out. Because, right, it's not mispashen, it's not poli. That makes sense if you have something that has substance to it, it's a solid. And you could say that once a mashu is trapped in the walls of this solid chaticha, it doesn't go out. It's only a mashu. But in the case of lach balach, of two liquids, then they combine together as one entity. You know, they become what's called blula. You know, blila. Blila means when you have two liquids that become mixed together. And there's no question that there's a total mixture of tam of you. Or so, even though it's only a mashu, it's going to definitely go out. Again, that's. Let's go on to number gimel. Okay. In number gimel, just 1 second. Where are we in number gimel? We have a second approach of the placing. Okay, then the second approach of the placing, and he wants to suggest that, since the law of Chaticha Nasis Nevela, even if you maintain that it applies to Shari Surin, it's only in the worst case a Drabana. What does that mean? And this is a very important breakthrough. The place he is claiming, and we really have to research this to see where he knows this, that even according to that school of Rishonim against Rabbeinu Ephraim, that we take Chatich Nas Nevela and we apply it to Shari Surim, the real Makoi Chatich Nas Nevela is Basa Mechol. There was never a machlokes, says the Plesi, between Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand and Rabbeinu Ephraim on the other, on a Doraisa level. As far as the Torah law is concerned, even Rabbeinu Tam agrees that Chaticha Nas Nevela only applies to Basa Mechalav. The extension of Chaticha Nas Nevela to Shari Surim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, says the place, is only a Derabana. Because the Rabbana were afraid that if they allow us to use, to ignore Chaticha Nas Nevela in Shari Surim, eventually we're going to come to the situation where we'll ignore it in the case of Basa Mechalav, which is a Doraisa halach of Chaticha Nas Nevela. Says the Plesi, therefore, we're going to be limited in Chanan, in Shari Surim, by the very same limitations that apply to Basa Mechalav. That's called Dayo, if you're familiar with that phrase, meaning the derivation can never be more extensive than the original. So Chaticha Nas Nevela in Shari Surim is a derivation, it's an extension of Chanan in Basa Mechalav. Now, Chanan in Basa Mechalav will only apply when there's Nesinas Tam. And the reason for that, you might recall, on Daf Kuf Ches, is because of a principle called Derech Bishel Asur Torah. Right? The Torah says, Lo Sevashel Gdi Bachalev Imo. So if you don't have this precondition of Bishel, then it's not Basa Mechalav, at least on a Doraisa level. And Derech Bishel Asur Torah, the Gemara says, only applies when it was Nesinas Tam. You know, you wouldn't cook something if it's not going to give a taste. The reason why people, you know, a chef or a housewife will mix things together in a pot, you know, she has all the matkon, what's it called, the
recipe,
thank you, is only because every element in that recipe adds something to the taste of the final product, you know, just to add things in, you know, like I Love Lucy, you know, just to add it in, just when it doesn't add a thing, that's ridiculous. So that's not called Derech Bishel. So Mashahu is antithetical to Derech Bishel, and therefore at least in Basar B'Chalav a Mashu is not awesome. However, in Shari Surim there is such a thing as an Isur Mashu, because we don't have the principle of Derech Bishul. So if you cook Nevela with other heter in such a way that the Nevela doesn't give time into the rest of the Kedera, it's only a Mashu. Nevertheless, everything becomes awesome because there's no principle called Derech Bishul Asur Torah. But nevertheless, as far as the principle of Hanan in Shari Surim, which is only an extension of Hanan in Basar B'Chalav, Hanan in Shari Surim cannot be more chamur than Hanan in Basar B'Chalav. And since Hanan in Basar B'Chalav only applies when there's an Asinus Tam, albeit for that's for its own unique reason of Derech Bishul Asur Torah, Lo Sevashel, you cannot derive a Hanan Derabbanan in Shari Surim that would go even further beyond Hanan in Basar B'Chalav, and therefore you're limited with the same limitations, namely it only applies when there's an Asinus Tam and Anamash. Very brilliant chiddush of the place. And finally, we have Mishnas Rabbanan in number Zion, and he says that the principle of Hanan is predicated on the principle of Tam Ki'ikar. Do you see that? Now, let's try to explain what that means. Tam Ki'ikar means that the Torah recognizes that when you have Tam of Isur that's been absorbed in a mixture of Heter, everything becomes awesome. That's called Chaticha Nasis Nevela. What do I mean? Once the Torah says that a Heter which holds on to a Tam, which absorbs a Tam of Isur, is Asur, what the Torah is saying is that Heter itself is transformed into Isur. That's Tam Ki'ikar. Now, he doesn't quote the Rosh in Chulin, but I'm almost positive that this is based on the Rosh in Chulin. The Rosh in Chulin says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that when Tam goes into this Kedera of Heter, if you pull out from this Kedera a Kezias and you eat it, you get Malchus. Which means that every Kezias is Asur, as if it were Nevela. Now why would that be so? I mean, let's say you have a mixture of one Kezias of Isur with 59 Kezaisim of Heter. Why should you be Chayav Malchus, Doraisa, for eating one Kezais from this whole mixture? I mean, I don't know what percentage. What percentage is 1 over 59, right? It's, let's say, roughly 2%, whatever it is. 2% of this whole mixture is really the original Nevela. And yet, any time I pull out a Kezais, I'm going to be Chayav Malchus. The answer is, says the Rosh, because Rabbeinu Tam holds that Heter Nefach Lios Iser, that once the Heter is holding on to this Tam, because it's only 59, then the Heter itself becomes awesome. So any Kezais you take out, is because that's called Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Therefore, says Rav Aaron, that as a result, you would not apply Hanan in the case of a Mashu, because the entire... What is the source that generates the concept and the principle of Hanan? It's Tam Ki'ikar. Well, that only applies when you have Tam in 1 of 59, but not when you have a Mashu. So we now have made tremendous progress. We have four different answers to the question as to why Rav, at least according to Rabbeinu Tam, will only apply Hanan if and when there's Tam. And we're not going with the Ramban and the Rashba that said don't take the Gemara literally and reinterpret it. We are taking Rav's statement at face value that it's that Hanan only applies when there was the Sinas Tam, and that is because either A, the way the Yad Yehuda understands the Arzaruah, because otherwise you can't transform Heter into Isur, you need a profound impact of Isur on the Heter, that's it. Or B, because Mashu can't go out. Or C, because the Rabbanan are not going to be machmir and impose Hanan beyond its original source, Doraisa, in Basar B'Chalav, and in Basar B'Chalav, Derech Bishul Asur Torah, so therefore you have to have Tam. And finally, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, according to Rabbi Aaron, the principle of Hanan is based on Tam Ki'ikar. And without Tam Ki'ikar, there's no Hanan. And this leads us to the left column. Do we have a few more minutes? How are we doing on the clock?
Ten
more minutes. Okay, we'll see if we can do the left column that starts with the words Madua Mashu Menat Isra Balua Bechaticha Eino Oser Bimino Bimashu. Right now, here's the main question that we have for today, and that is, why is it that a mashu, right, let's say for example you have one kezayis in the veil that's cooked with a piece of meat that is voluminous, right, it has a volume of 60 pieces of meat. That piece of meat, although it's usur because it was bolea a mashu, could not impart isur according to this shita, right? This is not the Ramban shita, according to the other Rishonim, cannot impart isur on the balance of the kedera. And the answer is either A, B, or C. Aleph, Beis, or Gimel. Now, let's skip to Beis because that we're most familiar with, and that is that the tam of mashahu is always trapped in that piece of meat. It never goes out.
It's like the base we had before.
Correct. That was the insight we had before in the crazy placey number one, the first crazy place, which was number Beis on your list on the right side. And now we see it here, number Beis in the name of the Rashi.
Yeah, we looked at it. Yeah.
We looked at it. So that's the easiest way of going. Yeah. And it's a law of halachic physics that the mashu doesn't go out. But if you look at Aleph, the first approach, he says that a mashu, just one second, I'll just read a few lines here just to jolt my memory, because there's a lot of material here. He says that's number one. Aleph, what is he saying? He's saying that there are two major forces in halacha, in Isra v'Heter, that could impart Isra into Heter and Asa something that's Mutter. One is called Tam and the other is called Mamish or Be'en. In this case, that first Chaticha doesn't fit into either of those two categories, right? It only received a Mashu, it's not Tam. And on the other hand, the original Be'en is not here because we got rid of the Nevela. So in such a case, HaChaticha Rishonah Shekibla Mashu min Nevela, Afshehu mashu varehu asur, that chaticha itself is asur, right? But kevan shachaticha hi mino eno yochla vatlo lachen kula asura, that's only in a case where it received tam. So believe it or I'll come back to this. I just want to try to finish up in the few minutes that we have. And finally, number three, we have the rush. Now, in order to understand this rush, what I'd like to try to do is to fast forward to this page that I gave you, which I expanded for those of us who have limited eyesight, you know, and that means myself. So on the left column, he quotes a Ritva. And a Ritva, although he's not exactly addressing the same question as the Rush, meaning the Rush was addressing the question, why, if the first Chaticha was only Bolea of Mashahu, it cannot impart its Isra on the rest of the Kedera. Why? And we gave a number of reasons. And then we had, on the right side of that page, we had a discussion about why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you only apply Chaticha's Nasus Nevela if that Chaticha received Tam, Mashu is not enough. The Ritva asks the what I call the bomb question here. Do you have it on the left column of this gigantic page? Okay. Now the Ritva quotes a kasha in the name of Tosus. We don't have this Tosus. The Rishonim had Tosus in that we don't have. Madua, you have it? David, yes. You're looking around, so it gives me the impression you don't have it. Madua Hutzrach, you have it?
Yeah.
I would underline those words. Madua Hutzrach Rav la'agia l'din chatichanas nevela. Why does Rav need to operate with chatichanas nevela? Kidei shechatichas haheter te'esar es shara chatichos hafilu harei af below dinze. Let's leave out Hanan. Neseres chatichas haheter v'nei ha'isur shenivla ba. There's no doubt in our minds that that chaticha that received even a mashu is asura. Umemela oseres hi shara chatichos midin min b'mino lo batel. Afilim lo nifla ba'el mashu v'lo nase is kula nevela. Ke chaticha shal isur. In other words, what the Ritvan and Ametosis is adding here, which is the critical piece that's been missing to this puzzle, is that for some reason, Chaticha Nasas Nevela is critical here in Rav's frame of reference, because it will only, this Chaticha will only engender Issa to the rest of the Kedera if we can apply the principle of Chaticha Nasas Nevela. And he's not operating with the assumption that, you know, a mashu can't go out, like we said before, the name of the Rashi and the Placey. He's operating in the framework of an Isur that became Asur, Chaticha became Asur because of mashu. Now it should be able to engender that Isur into the rest of the Kedera, Mishun Min Bimino Lo Batel. And if it cannot, then the solution to the problem is Chaticha Nasas Nevela. So only when we have Hanan can that Chaticha engender an Isur into the rest of the Kedera. Why is that so? Why not just say once that Chaticha became Asura and now that Chaticha is Asur, even without Chaticha Nasas Nevela, that Chaticha is now Min Bimino in the second Bishul with the rest of the Chatichos in the Kedera, and it should ask them Min Bimino Lo Batel. V'tiretz, now notice that this teretz is a breakthrough that we haven't seen before, to the best of my knowledge, in which we will circumscribe the principle of Rabbi Yehuda of min b'mino lo bata. Af Rabbi Yehuda sover shemashu shal iser oser, when does a mashu of iser have the power to aser? Ein advar mamurim el ksha iser omed b'eino v'eino ma'urav b'dover acher. Meaning, if you have nevela, every single fiber of that basar is nevela. There's no tarovis in that piece of nevela of anything that's mutter. It's pure iser, unadulterated 100%. That piece, because it's unadulterated iser through and through, duch and duch, has the power of effectuating min b'mino lo batel of Rabbi Yehuda. Avokasha hu ma'ura beheter. Somehow you would have, imagine if you would have in the wildest dreams of your mind an avela that's half avela and half heter, if you had such a thing. Such a thing is eno oser b'mino b'mashu. When Rabbi Yehuda was mechadish that something engenders an iser b'mashu, that's only if it's kulo asur. It's 100% iser. Nimtza, and therefore, if this is correct, says the Ritva, if we don't apply the principle of Hanan, then that piece of meat that has a mixture of heter and iser, because only a mashu of it is asur, would not be able to engender an iser on the others through the principle of Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino lo batel, because the principle of Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino lo batel can only apply when you have pure, unadulterated iser. If, on the other hand, I can take that piece of heter that received tam of iser and convert it into the vela, then it becomes kulo iser omed b'en. There's no tarovus whatsoever. It's called kulo iser, and now b'min b'mino, it will engender an iser even b'mashu, no matter, even if you have an elf. But if, on the other hand, you only have a mashu, and therefore it doesn't become the vela, if it doesn't become the vela, then it's heter and iser mu'uravim zepazeh. It's some sort of mixture of heter and iser. And that's, I think, perhaps what the Rush is saying. If you go back to Samak Beis on the left column, the Rush says, on the second line, v'eino nechshav min b'mino. If there was no nesinas tam from the nevela into that piece of meat, when that piece of meat gets mixed up in the rest of the tarovis, it's eino nechshav min bimino. Now, he doesn't explain why it's not nechshav min bimino, but I think this ritva will shed a light on why it's not nechshav, why it's not included into the general rule of Rabbi Yehuda of min bimino lo batel. Min bimino lo batel, says the ritva in Rabbi Yehuda, only applies to something that's kulo asur, not to something that's a tarovis, a mixture of min, of iser and heter. That's the difference between nesinas tam. If there's nesinas tam of iser into something, we can apply the principle of what? Of chatich and asin avail for one of the four reasons that we explained here on the right side of Samach Beis 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, now you have an Asinus Tam. Now you have Chatich and Asin Avela. Now it's Kulo Asur. There's no Tarovus of Heter. Now we can apply the principle of Min Bimino Lo Batel Rabbi Yehuda. But if there was no Chanan, meaning if this piece of meat became Asur only by virtue of a Mashahu, and there is no Chatich and Asin Avela for one of the four reasons that we gave, then what you have is not kulo isur, you have a tarovus of isur v'heter. Tarovus of isur v'heter does not lend itself to the principle of min bimino lo bot. Alright? That's what we accomplished. I mean, things are beginning to take. Again, it's one of those sugyas you have to flesh it out, you know, the flesh and the blood to create an entire, you know, an entire... Entire framework.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good Shabbos. One thing I want to try to clarify is why is it that min bimino lo batel only applies when you have kulo asur? You know, if it's a tarovus of heter and iser in this chatita, we're not going to apply the principle of min bimino lo batel.
That's not the same as on the next page, min bimino masho acher.
I don't know. You may be right. I need to take a deep breath and analyze that too with the taz of Mashu Shimamashu and Trey Mashu Lo also.